On today's show, the Bucks get blown away in the second half by the Indiana Pacers in the first real stinker this team has had in a long, long while. No Brook Lopez, only the second game of the season that he has missed. We'll discuss that, what went wrong with the defense and everything else in this loss to the Indiana Pacers. And then a more general question. Would you prefer to be intimate or win an NBA championship?
Backs him down. Giannis. Spinning, fading shot up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
You are locked on Bucks. My name's Kane Pittman. You can see and hear me on this show Monday to Friday and also find my work at ESPN. Alongside me, the founder of brewhoop.com and longtime voice of the podcast, Frank Madden, for today's episode that's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/Locked On today to get started. As always, we thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first watch or listen of every single weekday. We absolutely appreciate it. It's free to subscribe and like and drop a comment and review and everything and all those nice things that really, really help us and also helps you get engaged with the show and provide content like you did for yesterday when I asked the question if there's any reason to be concerned about this team, Frank. And I'm not walking away from this game and with any type of panic because we knew that the Bucks were going to throw up a stinker at some point on the road to the playoffs. They had won 21 out of 23 games. But as I look at the box score for the second half here. And at halftime, it was clear the Bucks weren't firing on all cylinders, but I didn't think they were going to lose the game at home to the Pacers. In the second half, they give up 84 points. The Pacers shoot 33 for 47 from the field. 70%, that is, for those counting at home. 13 for 19 from the three-point line. That's 69%. And that's not nice if you're a Bucks fan. And they were 18 for 22 in the paint. Defense non-existent in the second half, and that is why they lost this game.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I can't think of a worse second half defensive performance. The only other like half I feel like I can compare it to is the first half against Charlotte in that home loss, where they literally, you know, couldn't prevent any shots from going in, couldn't get offensive rebounds. I think a couple of, you know, contextual points, I think, for this one, obviously not having Brook is part of this story. That said, I mean, the Pacers also go small. Miles Turner spaces out to the three-point line. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you didn't have Brook against Joel Embiid or Jokic or something like that right in this game. But I think the other big thing was just Giannis with this foul trouble. You know, the fact that you only had Giannis and Bobby Portis and Myers Leonard as your bigs. And then the only one of those guys that actually can like play defense at a high level, Giannis, picks up three fouls and was it like 2.5 minutes or something like that? I mean, he picks up three fouls in the span of a few minutes in the third quarter, picks up his fourth foul at the start of the third quarter very early. Him and Miles Turner were like, you know, dueling banjos of like foul trouble. They both got their fourth fouls at the start of the third quarter. And, you know, Bud kept him in the game, took him out then a few minutes later, put him back in, let him rest for a few minutes and put him back in late in the third quarter. But the Bucks, I was looking at the box where the play-by-play is like super screwed up. I don't know if you were looking at it, like the score stuff is really strange, but I believe the Bucks had a 101-90 lead with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And then they got outscored, I think 11-0 to end the third quarter, which, you know, to me, that was like the turn of the game. And then the start of the fourth quarter, like all that momentum carried on. And, you know, part of this, obviously Pacers played a great second half. We know that they just play up and down. They play it with a super fast tempo. They play tons of guys that can shoot threes. You know, our old friend George Hill was awesome. Like, what was he? Plus 26 in like 23 minutes, scored 15
plus
points.
Minus King is back. It doesn't matter, yeah, who he's playing for.
Yeah, and TJ McConnell was a plus 36 in this game. Bucks tormentor TJ McConnell. And Giannis with that foul trouble was, you know, basically useless as a rim protector. And just, you know, he was having to play Matador defense and they were smartly driving right at him and hitting shots left and right. So all those stats that everybody's been throwing around, you know, about Giannis's, you know, at rim defense and all that being the best in the league, or, you know, holding opponents the lowest beneath their expected, being the best in the league in that regard. I mean, this was like a throw all that out the window. And a lot of that was because of the foul trouble. And I think the rest is largely just because Indiana, you know, just made every shot. So, you know, to somebody, you kind of tip your hat to the Pacers. I mean, we saw them, they were cockroaches in that last game in Indiana, I think, right? Where they kind of kept coming back when they were down big. Tonight, again, without Haliburton. Has Haliburton played against the Bucks this year? Like, did he play like one game against the Bucks maybe at the beginning of the year? I don't know. But he missed the last game in Milwaukee as well, which is the MLK game, where the Pacers were leading by double digits, I think, at halftime, or, you know, around that point. Giannis didn't play in that game, and eventually the Bucks were able to clamp down a bit defensively and start making shots, and Drew Holiday was great in that game, and they were able to win. This was kind of the reverse of that, where the Bucks kind of felt, maybe got a little bit smug and a little bit like, oh yeah, we got this. You know, they were leading by double digits for much of the game, not by like huge, huge margins, but they had leads, you know, throughout the game. And then late in the third quarter, they just let go of the rope, and the transition defense was particularly horrendous. Looking at the cleaning the glass numbers on transition numbers, Indiana was plus 13 points per 100 added in transition. The Bucks were minus 1.4. That's a 98th percentile number for the Pacers, and a obviously bad number for the Bucks, considering they actually hurt themselves in transition, relatively speaking, in this game. So, you know, because the Bucks actually were better in half court per play than Indiana was tonight, which, you know, again, would you have guessed that? Like, I don't know, maybe not. But again, they just didn't get back in defense. You know, I mean, there were plays. There was one play, I think Nesmith had to like hit like a three, and like Chris Middleton actually got out to him in the corner on one play, and Nesmith kind of like hesitated and then put up a shot. And Chris didn't even put a hand up. And it's just like stuff like that. It's like, man, guys, like you got to take this shit seriously, you know? So it was just, you know, again, call it a burn the videotape game, whatever you want to call it. It just, you know, obviously was an inexcusable second half performance. And I mean, you were up three games in the loss column coming into this game on Boston and Philadelphia. Now it's down to two. And both those teams, you have one more time at home the rest of the way. So, again, when you were playing the way the Bucks were playing, you felt pretty good about that three-game lead. Philly in particular has a really tough schedule. They have a bunch of road games coming up. But Philly's been, you know, since like December, they have the best record in the NBA, and they just beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. So, again, like we all want that one seed, and the Bucks tonight, you felt like, hey, this is why you have all that depth. No Brooke Lopez with the ankle tweak. Okay, fine. You know, give Brooke a couple days off. Now you'll get a few more days off before the next game on Sunday. Jay Crowder, some calf thing. I think they really missed him not being able to have a bit more strength and versatility in this line, in the lineup tonight, having to play Myers Leonard a fair bit, especially in the first half. Although Myers Leonard, I thought, was fine. Like he probably had his best game as a Buck, and then it just kind of went to shit without him on the floor. So, yeah, I mean, you felt like, okay, this is where the Bucks' depth is really going to shine through with all these guys being out. You know, hey, Wes Matthews, get in here. You know, Pat Connaughton starting, all this stuff. But unfortunately, it did not happen. And Giannis obviously took himself out of large portions of this game with the foul trouble. Chris was meh, didn't hit a three-pointer. Drew was pretty efficient. But, you know, unfortunately, they just needed way more points than they got tonight because the defense was so bad. So anyway, coaching staff will say, hey, we got some ammo to take to the film session this the next couple of days. But you know, if you're a fan who made their only trip to Fiserv tonight of the year or something like that, I mean, I'd be pissed, because that was a pretty inexcusable effort in the second half.
Yeah, definitely frustrating. I always actually, based on this team and the way they've been ramping up the last few weeks, or really the last 2 months, the way that they've been playing, I actually have fewer concerns about how this team is going to show up on a nightly basis against the better teams. And sometimes we've seen it before. They can play teams that just are middle of the pack, mediocre teams, and they'll just try and, as you said, try and sleepwalk their way through the game. And you can find yourself in some serious trouble, because the other number that obviously really hurts the Bucks in this game, and you pointed to some of the ways they were closing out on the three-point line, but 22 three-point makes to 11, you know, that's a big deficit, and that is tough to overcome, and they obviously struggled with that tonight. Maybe we talk a little bit more about George Hill and Jordan Wara and the revenge status of those two guys, because there was some interesting stuff, and Marcus Johnson was talking about it a lot on the broadcast. Then we'll dive into anything else that took your interest in this game, Frank. But before we do that, today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And I've just lost the ad read, ladies and gentlemen, so stick with me. Yes, today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. That's exactly right. And as we know, getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because everyone's always growing. People are changing as they get older. And therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on the journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. So you can discover your potential right now with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonNBA. I found it fascinating throughout this game, and sometimes you see this, but when you make a trade at the trade deadline and there are multiple guys that have been with the team for a year or 2 years, and Marcus was really talking about it a lot on the broadcast about, you know, the knowledge they might have of spots that they can attack or how they can try and defend Giannis or what's the best way to get on top of this Bucks team. I don't know how much that honestly had an impact on the game. I'm not sure. But when you talk about the foul trouble for Giannis, there was one crafty little play from George Hill where they actually went to review the play where Giannis is driving and George Hill... No, sorry, the other way around. George Hill is driving and he absolutely hooks Giannis's arm and draws the... Now, George Hill's crafty. He does this to a lot of people. I was staggered that they didn't overturn this call. And that was at a point in time where Giannis was already starting to get in foul trouble. But
that was the fourth one. Yeah, I think that was the fourth. Was that the fourth foul? I think so.
I mean, that was a... Sometimes I always, when calls go
or
to
maybe review, maybe, or was it the... Or was it... No, I think that was his third, right? In this...
Late in the first half?
Late in the first half, maybe? Anyway, one of those two.
Were you... I mean, I never know what to think when they go to challenge, but that was one where Bud... And I commented on Twitter. I mean, he's disgusted that he had to call challenge for this. He just looked at the officials like they are just the most ridiculous people on earth for not calling this. But then they didn't overturn it. But that was the crafty play from George Hill. And I was surprised. That was a terrible turnover and a terrible non-call. And the other thing I'll say is, and I'm not blaming the officials. Like, look, the Bucks were awful. But there was some liberal use of the forearm in this game that the Pacers seemed to be able to use on some of those offensive plays as well. But George Hill, just crafty little George Hill getting some revenge on the Bucks.
Well, especially, I mean, you're making me think that the fifth foul he got on a charge was like, I mean, McConnell is literally mugging him. And I don't think whoever it was that took the charge, I don't think he was set or something like that either. I mean, that one really pissed me off. And unfortunately, like, you know, you already had to use your challenge, you know, earlier in the game. Which, you know, is a really high leverage play, right? I mean, I think the only acceptable time to use a challenge in the first half of a game for the Bucks is when it is a Giannis like foul trouble situation, especially like a block charge type situation. This obviously wasn't a block charge, but yeah, I mean, I don't blame Bud for using it there. Cause I mean, it was a, you know, again, Giannis getting a third foul at that point in the game was pretty critical, right? It was with 7 minutes, I think, left in the second quarter. Fortunately, I mean, you know, you were able to weather that. And of course, yeah, I mean, hindsight 2020, right? Like Tony Brothers and company, right? Making bad calls left and right. It is what it is. It did feel like, you know, and again, the Bucks lost this game themselves, but it did feel like at times, like, you know, they were allowing way more physicality against the Bucks than were being allowed on the other side. And there were a couple plays where like Giannis was trying to use verticality. And, you know, if he had no fouls, like they may have called fouls on him in those scenarios. But I mean, I think they were the right, like, kind of non-calls in those scenarios. But again, I mean, Bucks got kind of punched in the mouth and they kind of were asking for it, you know, with the way that they were not getting back on defense.
And Jordan Wara, it's funny. He's obviously been getting some minutes in this game. I thought early And it was funny again listening to Marcus, but I thought earlier it was very clear. And by the way, I don't think this was just a Bucks thing. We know Jordan Wara, when he's out there, likes to get his shots up. But he had some horrible misses. But then later on, when none of the Pacers could miss, he was actually able to knock down some shots. He finished 5-for-11, 2-for-3 from three, actually. And the four assists, which Marcus was quick to point out, asking the question whether he had four assists in his entire Milwaukee Bucks tenure.
He had like, I remember early last season, he had I thought he had a game where he had like four or five assists. So yeah, but there was an article, somebody pointed out, somebody like some, one of the Pacers, I think 8.9 seconds, wrote a thing, and I didn't read the article, 'cause like, why am I going to bother with this? But it was like the Bucks are going to regret giving up on Jordan Wara. And it's like, first off, like, why? The Bucks don't have time for this shit. Like, the Bucks don't have time to like let Jordan Wara be a bad defender and like, you know, chuck shots. Like, I mean, we tried it. We've been there. We've done that. Like, there's a reason no Bucks fans, like everybody who was super excited about him as a rookie and, you know, was like, oh, he needs more playing. You know, the reason why everybody kind of like was like, all right, yeah, we kind of get it, right? And it's not because he's terrible or can't shoot or whatever, but they're trying to win an NBA championship. Okay. Jordan Wara is not going to help you do that. And he can fit in with what Indiana is doing, but like, you know, it's like, just because he may work for you guys doesn't mean that the Bucks are like missing out a whole lot by not having Jordan Wara. Anyway, I just saw that. I was just like, please, like, can we just like worry about yourselves, Indiana Pacers blogs? Like, you know, you guys are, what you're doing is cute and you're an interesting team and on the upswing, but come on, like, just worry about your own backyard.
Well, I like that, because we did get in the YouTube comments a couple of times over the last two podcasts. Our viewers have been saying that, not salty Frank, what's the right word? Vicious Frank, perhaps?
Spicy?
Spicy Frank, yes. Hashtag Spicy Frank. So he's back.
Shout out to our friend of the pod, Bryn Riley, who has referenced, I think she's brought out Spicy Frank multiple times, referenced that. So she's kind of egged me on, but I don't want to be spicy, but you know, sometimes, I mean, the Sacramento game, it kind of was fun to be spicy this time tonight, not fun to be spicy. But you know,
all right. I want to ask you about Pat Connaughton as well. It's been a little bit of a struggle, particularly from a shooting perspective from him. So we'll get to a few other points from this game as we head into the weekend. But first, let's talk about FanDuel. It is the perfect, actually, that is not what we're doing. I'll tell you what, I have had a real struggle today with the show. It's the end of the week. We're talking about Nissan and the Nissan Electric Player of the Week, brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. And for this week, it's going to Giannis, because he had the 46-point game against the Kings. He was awesome again against the Suns. And when we talk about the Nissan Ariya and we talk about Giannis, we know we're talking about someone that is brilliantly fierce, stunningly powerful, elegant at the same time. It's all about duality, which is exactly what the Nissan Ariya brings to the table. It's a combination of fierceness and elegance, beautiful but strong. And the Nissan Ariya is a perfect SUV crossover. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV, the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. Pat Connaughton, Frank, a guy that's been a big-time player from a trust perspective, from a role perspective, from a closing perspective, hit some big shots since he's been in Milwaukee, has really just struggled this year. Coming into this game, he was at around 33% on the season. Tonight, even though the Bucks were going up against the Tide for much of the fourth quarter, there were a couple of shots there where you felt, okay, are the Bucks still a chance here? If Pat can just hit one of these threes, he had a chance from the corner, wasn't able to knock it down. He had another one, which he fired away very quickly from the left wing. He's just been really struggling out there, 1-for-6 from three tonight overall. Do you have any concerns about Pat and the fact that he has just really struggled to get this shot going so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather him make shots. And obviously, just consistently, you know, it seemed like he was coming around a bit and then kind of like, you know, one step forward, one step back. He's only at 34% for the season from three. You know, I mean, it's not like he's a career 40% three-point shooter. He's been, you know, better in recent years, but he certainly has been in that like 33 to 34% range earlier in his career. He's 36% for his career. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a big difference in terms of value, like him shooting 38% from three, there's a big difference between that and him shooting 32% or something like that. Right. So, I mean, look, is it something I'm thinking about a lot? Not really. But he is a guy that you have counted on. He was one of the, you know, what, how many bench guys did they have that you actually trusted to play every game during their finals run? I mean, Bobby, you want to say Bobby, but like Bobby literally didn't even play for an entire series against Brooklyn. Pat, who am I forgetting? Who else other than Pat and Bobby, like, were actually like reliable off the bench that year? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but
they all had little parts. Jeffrey Teague.
Definitely not putting Jeff Teague in that category. You know, it's hopefully he comes around a bit. I mean, I think overall, right? Like, he's a guy that I would still expect he's going to be a guy that plays in the playoffs and is going to be part of that rotation. But you know, if he's playing like this, then is he going to be the guy that, you know, gets to close games? Because I mean, he was a guy that closed games, right? Bucks won an NBA championship with him on the floor. Brook Lopez did not finish. We can bring up this in a moment. I mean, Brook Lopez games three through or four through six, Brook Lopez didn't finish any of those games, right? It was Giannis at center. Pat was in there as part of those closing groups. So I think, of course, you have some concern when a guy that you've counted on, that, you know, and you're paying him a lot of money the next 3 years, when a guy like that is not performing at the level that you're accustomed to. But again, it's like with 3-point shooting, it comes and goes. You know, it's not like he's shooting 29% from three, but I would say it has not been as consistent as we want. So, you know, yeah, something hopefully over the next few weeks that he gets in a little bit more of a rhythm. But again, he's also a guy that he doesn't take easy threes either. Right. I mean, he's a guy that he definitely lets it fly. I would say his quality of threes is probably lower than, you know, Grayson Allen, who I think usually is more wide open when he shoots it. And that's why his volume isn't quite as high as Pat. So, I would like it to be higher, but again, you have options. And ironically, that's like kind of one of the things that's like Mike Budenholzer has like built in critiques because of this depth now. Like, they're not going to play 11 guys, you know, in big playoff games. So they're going to lose some games in the playoffs, and hopefully they don't lose many of those close games, but they're going to lose some games in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the guy that he picks to play, whether it's Pat Connaughton or Joe Ingles or, you know, Jay Crowder or whatever, somebody's going to like miss shots or, you know, not make plays defensively. And then we're all going to sit around and say like, oh, well, should have played the other guy, you know, should have played Jay Crowder instead of Grayson Allen, should have played Pat Connaughton instead of Jay Crowder. You know, like, we're going to play this game. And we didn't really play it as much a couple of years ago just because they didn't have enough dudes to play that game. This is the downside of having depth, is that, you know, it kind of it creates lots of opportunity to second guess. But we'll see. I mean, again, depth, I think, is to me still a selling point for this team. And unfortunately, they just didn't have enough of it tonight.
Yes, and I kind of touched on the fact that Bud, you know, particularly over the last few postseasons, yeah, maybe early days, there was a criticism to say, well, you're not playing Giannis enough, you're not playing these guys enough. He certainly, that did change through the championship run, but you know, we've discussed it before. I remember back to game six in Toronto, he basically played six guys. He was like, screw everyone else. Mirotić, you're not getting on the floor. Ersan, you're playing 35 minutes tonight. So he has historically been a guy that'll really shorten up that rotation, but you're right. It might be a mix and match situation. And look, it's easy to sit here and say, well, Pat hasn't knocked down his threes at the rate you would love him to this year. But historically, no one's hit threes at the rate you would love him to in the postseason. So we're just hoping this year that someone steps up and does that. One other note that I put in our DM, and you know that I always like to be positive about my man, Joey Ingles. But one thing that, you know, he hasn't quite wrapped his head around just yet is the transition take foul. And look, he's been fantastic for the offense. I think he's really knocking down those threes. He was 4 for 5 from three tonight. Played 28 minutes. He was minus 20 in those 28 minutes, by the way. But knocked down the three tonight. But I would say not a strength at this point in time is his transition defense, Frank. And I think that he would be leading the team in transition take fouls by a long, long, long way. If he sees that they're about to be a fast break, he does have a tendency just to grab or throw his hand in there or slow down the transition, which they were allowed to do before he tore his ACL. So you don't want to see too many of those in big games in the postseason. That's for sure. That will be frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, in a game like this, I don't know what I think Joe was a pretty horrendous number on off tonight. I think what was
he? Minus 20.
Minus 20. Team worst, minus 20 in 28 minutes. Despite the fact that, you know, he had 14 points on five shots. I mean, he made a bunch of shots, but, you know, again, the defense, you know, all the bench guys, Javon, Wes, and Joe Ingles all were a party to that really bad stretch, I think, late in the third, early fourth quarter. And yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, Javon Carter, look at the matchup, TJ McConnell, 19 points and 12 assists, plus 36 in 30 minutes. 15 minutes, 3 points, minus 18, one assist. I mean, the backup point guard battle here, put George Hill in there as well, as a fellow backup point guard. Those guys just completely wrecked the Bucks tonight. And McConnell's just been a Bucks killer, you know, in general. And largely because, I mean, he's able to, like, the Bucks obviously are a team that will let you get to kind of those areas that he likes, which is those kind of like, you know, 10 to 14 foot little pull up jump shots, which he's, you know, carved out a nice career for himself making those. But yeah.
All right, let's get ourselves to the weekend, Frank.
Well, can we call out the clown take of the night? I'll call it the clown take of the night.
I don't see the point in it, but you can if you want.
So first off, I even made a joke about how, like, the, you know, we've got all the everybody for the Bucks and Nuggets and Sixers, like, everybody's got, like, their video guys on Twitter who are, like, cutting together, like, you know, low light reels defensively, especially if Jokic. And I joked about, like, oh man, tonight, like, golden opportunity for Jokic and Embiid fans to cut a low light reel of Giannis, because he was, you know, so kind of helpless when he had the foul trouble, and not really being able to defend the way he wanted. And Dario Melendez from Channel 12 made the comment that Giannis was a defensive liability at center. And I was like, okay, you know, and to be clear, like, I don't want Giannis, like, guarding Jokic or Embiid one-on-one, right? But, like, they have a 102 defensive rating with Giannis playing at center this year. If you can't understand the nuances of, like, small ball lineups versus big ball lineups and appreciate that Giannis is, like, one of the most versatile and devastating defensive weapons in the game of basketball when he's playing center in these types of lineups, then, like, you're hopeless. So, you know, and Dario's just been, like, digging in all night about this because he can never admit he's wrong or whatever. But Giannis at center, not for every lineup. You still want Brooke Lopez. You don't want Giannis starting at center, you know, for 82 games. But every single close game in the NBA Finals, games 4, 5, 6, who was closing at center in those games? Giannis Antetokounmpo, who made one of the greatest defensive plays in NBA history playing center. The block on DeAndre Ayton, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not bad for a defensive liability at center. So, yes, our listeners are smarter than that. So, anyway, but just wanted to make sure everybody didn't have any illusions about, you know, Giannis looking bad at center tonight. Yes, he looked bad, largely because of the foul trouble. But, yes, there are times when you don't want Giannis playing center for sure. I know he doesn't like it. He doesn't want to be a full-time center. But that's one of the things that makes him so valuable. So, anyway, shout out to Giannis. I love better nights.
No doubt about it. He absolutely will. And I think you're right. Most of the Bucks fans get excited about the versatility of the small ball lineups. And as you've seen, we've seen it in the absolute biggest moments. So fair stuff from you there, Frank, I have to say. Make sure you check out the Locked On Game to Game podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, on the Locked On NBA feed. A recap from around the NBA from the local experts. Scores, stats, info, analysis. Everything that comes along with a night around the NBA. Check out the Locked On Game to Game podcast on your Locked On NBA feed. As we said from the start, it's free to drop a comment, a like, a review, a subscription. It helps us. The show is on the rise, Frank. We know that for a fact because we're looking at the stats. We're looking at the analytics for Locked On Bucks, and they are on a steep curve upwards, which we like to see. So we appreciate all the support. Drop any thoughts from tonight's game. If you're frustrated, pissed off, upset, all perfectly calm. We like all the comments. Give us your thoughts, and I'll be on there responding to all you Bucks maniacs out there that watch this game tonight. Frank, if you got a thought for us to lead us into the weekend, some little words of wisdom from Frank Madden.
I have no words of wisdom. Go think about, go do something other than thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks for the next couple of days. That's always good.
That is wise words. The Bucks 50-20 on the season, still got a couple game lead over the Boston Celtics, who are heading out west. If you are want to watch basketball this weekend, maybe it's the Boston Celtics you want to watch, and go for the opposition. And we'll be back after the Bucks' next game on Sunday night, I believe. We'll speak to you.